We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Hey, hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Lynn from LK Feng Shui, a talented consultant and a former student of mine. She brings clarity, kindness, and practical wisdom to every space she touches, and she has a real gift for making Feng Shui still both feel accessible and life-changing. I was going to use the word transformational, but I did actually say it right. Last time I said it, it was like all statutory. But anyway, transformational. From family homes to personal healing journeys, Lynn has helped her clients shift stuck energy, restore harmony, and create lives that truly feel like their own. It's been a joy to watch her journey unfold, and I can't wait for you to hear her story and the energy she brings to every space she touches. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Janine. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show.
It's going to be fun. So, Lynn's such a joy to have here. It's like, well, let's start at the beginning. What I'm going to ask you, what first drew you to Feng Shui? Not that I don't know, but and how did you know this was the path for you?
It's interesting. I think I very first sort of came across Feng Shui in the late 90s. And I was very interested in it at that time. Perhaps it was the sort of interior design element of it that attracted me first and foremost. But I love the energy flow around it. And I'm always someone that wants to learn things, expand my knowledge, great sort of personal development, create better me. And so, yeah, the idea of working with sort of the natural flow of energy to help me achieve things in my life, and then maybe go on to help other people do the same. That's really felt like the right path.
Yeah, it's funny. Obviously, I've learned interior design, and you know, in my very first podcast, if anyone's listened, I tell my story. But what I will tell you about Lynn was during COVID. Well, I'll say that word now. I started teaching online, and Lynn came, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yes, I enjoyed those. Yeah, we were looking at the sort of charts as well, weren't we?
Yeah, we were doing Bar Z, which if you listen to last week's, Richard was talking about Bar Z and how it makes a difference. So Lynn started to learn Bar Z with me. And in her chart, I could see she could be a Feng Shui consultant, right? So we're talking 2020, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it would have been.
Yep. And it was so evident that it was there. And only the other week you were listening, doing something with Joey Yap, weren't you?
And I was. And yes, he talked about certain gifts in your chart and what they meant. And I had about six of them. And they all meant that, yes, I was naturally going to be drawn to this sort of metaphysics, if you like, in various forms, be it Feng Shui, Bar Z.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And so Lynn decided, yes, she was going to work with me. And we called it, I worked with three of us, and I called it the Sorcerer's Apprentice or something, wasn't
I think magician, was it Magician's Apprentices? I think it was something like that. Yes. It was, and yeah, it was great. It was great to work as a little group together. I think we all gained sort of insights from each other. And yes, it kept it just great fun.
That was the thing. So I think it took me 2 years to do the teaching, but I can do it in a year now, so I'm fine about that. You were the beta group, weren't you?
Yes, we had the benefit of you working alongside us for 2 years, which was great.
And Lynn's going to be one of my teachers at my academy as well. So on Monday nights, she's going to go on between 6 and 7 and answer questions and things like that. But let's get back to your journey.
Yes, thank you.
So what was the, I know your name, but what was the inspiration for LK Feng Shui?
That's interesting. I think I had in my mind that I wanted to use my initials. I'm not quite sure why, but I had that in my mind, and I had a bit of a brainstorming session with a sort of brandy marketing lady, and just really doing a number of things, finding, if you like, where my target clients may be. But we came up with this sort of idea of the logo being like a monogram using the LK, and then I think she actually said LK Feng Shui, and it just flowed. It just sounded right, you know, because it's rhyming and everything. And yes, that was it, really. That LK Feng Shui was born.
So when you were transitioning from being a student to actually being a feng shui consultant, I know I've been behind you, yeah, but I haven't held your hand when you've walked through that door. So let's go back to your very first ever client that you ever went into. How did
Yes.
you feel? What was it all about?
Yeah, very daunting. It was daunting, but it was someone I knew well, so I was, you know, quite comfortable about going, and she was very sort of welcoming and open with me, and it was very interesting. I turned up, I did sort of a recce of the outside space before I even went into the property, and then we sat down, we had a chat, and we started to go around doing our first sort of walk around the property and the home, and just talking about different things. And then we were going to get to the point where, okay, I was going to pace the space, find the center, get my directions, and really start sort of honing in on different areas and what was going on. And all of a sudden, my friend said, "I'm so sorry, Lynn. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I've completely forgotten. I'm supposed to be taking someone to see a solicitor, sort of lady that she helps." And I'm thinking, my goodness, this isn't the person that I know. So it was very interesting. And she was more than happy for me to carry on, stay where I was, and keep working the space, which I carried on doing. But then her cat came down and was all a bit anxious, wanted to go out. And I wasn't sure, as I know the cat's very old. So I was trying to get hold of her. And in the meantime, she said, "Oh, yes, she can, let her out the back." But in the meantime, but she said she does go into the very back room, utility type of space. She might have a little accident out there. So I walked through there and, yeah, stepped straight into a little huddle. And I thought, oh, what is this? Janine always said to me, things will happen. And here we are. All these things were happening. And this actual space where the cat was using as her little bathroom, shall we say, was actually the space that belonged to my friend. And it was her area, to really help and support herself, so she, you know,
What
that
do you
was
mean,
quite
as in when you say her own space, what do you mean
well,
by?
it was the area, if you like, for the mother of the house,
Oh,
the
so it's
sort
the
of that
relationship.
direction, yeah, the sort of southwest direction. And so if she wasn't looking after that area properly, then she wasn't looking after her own health and well-being.
Of course.
And very much, as I worked through the space, and particularly in her bedroom mirrors, which, as you know, we don't like to have in bedrooms, but I could see the side of the bed that she slept on, and I realised that every morning, as she got up in the morning, up straight opposite her were two very long mirrors, and the dividing line was right. So she was cutting herself in half every morning.
So my first question coming back to that, as I am as a feng shui consultant, you said that the cat used the Relationship is the bathroom. Was she in a relationship?
No.
Ah,
No.
see, that's a clue. This is Mr. Cluedo here. So initially, where the cat was urinating and using as a bathroom, was she looking for a relationship? Was she splitting up from a relationship? Or
She'd been on her own for a long time.
okay.
She had been married. She had two grown-up daughters. But this area, I talked about that with her. She wasn't actively seeking a relationship, in all honesty, but would potentially be open to perhaps a bit of companionship. But I
Right.
think it wasn't a focus of hers, and quite clearly.
She was ignoring the area. So if you're
Yeah.
ignoring your relationship area in the southwest and you haven't got it activated with, the right colors, the right, twos of everything, and you don't want it, then you don't think about it, and it's not going to be like that. Now, the other thing that I noticed when you said that you went in and she suddenly started off and wanted her own thing, what was her life like? Was it just crazy anyway?
Yeah, she was splitting herself in two.
Mm.
Absolutely every day. I know, she's just got a lot of having to support her mother, and again, there's not much thanks for that.
Yeah.
She helps other people, her daughters as well. One lives abroad now, so I knew she was putting all her energy out to everybody else and not really
Yeah, and
looking after herself.
again, if she had a difficult mother, the mother, even though that's her, it's her mother, her grandmother, that's all that area. And if you start to fix that area, then you should be able to fix your relationship with your mother. In that sort of thing. And I was talking to Richard last on the episode before this, and that's the one area in my house I can never keep sorted. And my relationship with my mother was quite difficult. So if you look at the southwest in your house, is it well looked after?
That answers it, doesn't it? There is quite a bit of clutter in my southwest.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a work in progress.
And you
But
as a
yes.
mother, I expect everybody pulls on you then.
Yes. Yes, I
And
do. I do dissipate my energy out elsewhere.
as a feng shui person, often it's really hard to do your own home. It's about what they call it, cobblers in their shoes and things like that. I actually take a big point of doing that feng shui in my own house, but obviously you need to do more, Lynn.
I do. I absolutely do. And it is, and it needs to be a priority, this
Yeah.
area, particularly in the southwest.
And I know you're going to have more time in the next three after 3 weeks' time, you're going to
Yes.
be able to do that. So as your teacher, as your master, I say, sort it out. You must
Yes.
sort it out. Anyway, back to that. I'm a very good at diverting thing. Going back to the house after the cat, what else did you find in the house? What else did you find that you needed to do?
Interestingly, there was a couple of pictures in the dining end of the living space, and to myself, I'm quite into sort of imagery and what that is, what that does, because we have pictures, we have photographs, we have a lot of things around us, and we're not looking at them necessarily all the time, but they are there all the time, and they are impacting us,
Yes.
they're having an impact on the environment. And there were two pictures, and they just struck me as being lonely, suggesting loneliness.
Right.
And this is a lady on her own. And so I when we caught up following that day, because she had had to rush off, I asked her about them, because as you know, Janine, we do need to just find out from people what these pictures mean. They might have a special meaning to her. That they were pictures she'd had from her daughter that her daughter was getting rid of. So I don't think she was emotionally attached to them, but they just struck me as being rather lonely. And yeah.
I totally agree. Imagery is really important. Imagery isn't, if you're trying to activate something, say you're taking in and someone wants to have the wealth area and they want to make money. Pictures of money aren't what you do, yeah? But
No.
what you look at, it just gives it in, absolutely affects you. I've just done a column for Sussex Life, Sussex Exclusive, saying about the different imagery for the different rooms. And one of the things when I was writing it, I realized how powerful imagery is, which I know you love. Do you remember that time when you contacted me, a client, and they've got a large spider in there on our thing?
Yes. Yeah, it was, I think, a big tarantula sort of in, probably in a frame.
I've seen them on eBay now.
Image.
People are selling them. I'm like, oh my goodness. What, for me, a spider would be the worst thing ever. But obviously, that would have resonated something for them. So what sort of area was that? Was the spider in this
So
trap?
in this particular case, again, I asked all, what there was, that there was a big, a framed picture with this tarantula in it, but there was also some other interesting artifacts, like a mask, and I think there were some drums. I asked, it was a young man I was dealing with on this occasion, what those were and how had they any personal significance to him. And again, they hadn't particularly. They'd come from a friend's late father when they were having a clear out, and they just want, they'd been stuck in a garage, clearing them out. But he just said to me, well, if they need to go, they can go. And in his case, he'd been having a lot of really night terrors, very, very bad nightmares, and being attacked by things coming out of his wardrobe at him in the night,
Oh my goodness.
fighting off with his pillow. And these artifacts and this image of this large spider were on the wall the other side of this wardrobe.
Goodness.
So he got rid of those. There was a mirror in the bedroom, which he moved out of the bedroom, and also under his head where he lay, there was a big box. And I'd said, what's in that box? And he said, all sorts of cables and chargers and things like that. I said, well, that we've got to move those away from there. And yes, he's been able to sleep really well ever since.
It's
He's been fine.
bizarre. As a feng shui consultant, you go into people's houses and you're like, what seems obvious to them, not obvious to them, to us, just seeing it in the wrong area. And like you saw that the wardrobe and the spider was behind it, and very Harry Potter, by the way, but coming out and doing that, because they live in it, they don't see it. And as feng shui consultants, what we do find is we go into people's houses and that they are obviously, it's so obvious to us. I think that's a very important thing. One of the things that I taught Lynn a long time ago is when you go in, just go in with like clear eyes, see how people react when you go near things, because we go near things and touch them. If I'm coming in, I'm opening cupboards, which is what you do, don't you?
Yep.
It's a big thing. The other thing that we do, one of the things that I teach, it's very important to the journey to someone's house when you're feng shuiing them is very, very important.
Yes.
One of the times Lynn and I was teaching them, I think it was once I was it, we went to someone's house, and on the way, everybody, all these men were coming out and being like really angry, like driving towards us and then cutting us off and beeping. It was just so obvious. So when I was teaching you, we went to this person's house and wanted feng shui. So the father of the house, the male of the house, is in the northwest. I know I'm talking over you here, but I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. So we all went to the northwest, and we were like in washing machine place. What's that called? Laundry room. Yeah. So in this laundry room.
Yes.
And there was like this
Boiler.
boiler. See, my word's all gone. And as we opened it, where the workmen had done their work, it was horrendous. It was literally horrendous. So we called the woman of the house in, and so I just said to her, "Do you have a problem with men in your life?" She went, her reaction was straight away, wasn't it, Lynn? She was like,
Yes, absolutely.
yes, like this. I said, "I'll leave you with my feng shui people now, and you can all give your feedback." But our journey was so important to the feng shui, and I think that's one of the big ones. Have you ever had anything like that on your way to someone's house?
It's interesting. When I was going to one that was a little bit of a longer journey, I was going down to East Sussex near Rye, and part of the journey was quite foggy and misty, and then you'd get a little bit of clear light, and you could see, and then it would get a bit misty and foggy again. And I knew that this gentleman was really looking for some clarity, and I think he had. He'd been very successful in what he did, but he was now looking to sort of, he was struggling to see the way forward. And so this journey very much told me that this was the case.
Yeah, it's funny how the universe does that. Anyway, we're just going to take a break and hand over to our sponsors, and we'll see you on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm back here with Lynn, talking about feng shui. So what do you think, Lynn? I have to ask this because I'm asked it on every show. What do you think the common mistake or misunderstanding people have about feng shui?
I think a lot of the time people think it, particularly people that are very, very skeptical, and they think, oh, yeah, so I'll just move that chair there. I'll just do that. And then, oh, that's it. That solves all my problems. That's just such the tip of the iceberg, actually, the way we place furniture and create flow. I think everyone can see, okay, yes, so no, you can walk through there without walking into a table, for example. But that's just such the tip of the iceberg of feng shui. And actually it's very much about being engaged in the process. People themselves need to be engaged in the process of sometimes moving some items of furniture or some mirrors, for example. But it's being engaged and having some intention around that. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
The person themselves.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I always talk about manifesting. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I'm also about actioning what you manifest. Trying to think, you said something earlier and I've forgotten where I was now. That's typical of me at the moment. So one of the things that I know when we go to feng shui someone's house, when we talk about people that come in as skeptics, sometimes they're not, like the wife will bring you in and the husband's the skeptic, yeah? And you're like, okay, so you're paying me, I'll do what you need, whether he likes it or not, or she likes it or not. But I love, this is my favourite thing to do, is finding out what he's sceptic about. Yeah. What does he not believe in? And then making sure that happens. Because one of the things that you said was intention, et cetera, et cetera. It's coming back to me now. Sorry about this. It's coming back to me. You talked about everybody taking on other people's light, inheriting the spider, inheriting the people's pictures. Yeah.
Yes.
And we do that because we don't know how to say, no, I don't want it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that that's one of our jobs, is to make people feel comfortable that they can release this clutter because they don't care about it, but they take it. So what's your take on that?
Absolutely. And I think we as individuals are very inclined not to want to throw something away, but to pass it on to somebody else. And actually that person, out of the kindness of their heart, may take it, but actually it's not going to serve them or do them any benefit. So absolutely don't take things if you know, just for the sake of taking them. I'm probably been guilty of that myself in the past, because I don't like to see things going, you know, being thrown away. I'm very much into actually recycling, if you like, charity shops and those sort of places. Just wonderful to give those things a new lease of life, someone who will actually, it means more to them than.
I mean, I'm 100% become that person, because I got given a lot of stuff from my nanas and all that sort of thing. And like, you know, I'm not getting rid of them because they were my nanas. But being a feng shui consultant and dealing with people from all walks of life, the one thing I have found is they often put it in the wrong place. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's because what you have to understand, when I say the wrong place, when there's something wrong in a house or a business, you tend to put the clutter in it. You don't even know you're doing it, but you're like, oh yeah, I'll just put it over there. And that part of the limb of your life, or you out of your nine lives, we're not cats.
Life yet, areas, yes.
Life areas, yeah.
Yeah.
Will be affected. So have you had one that you've gone into that's had pure clutter in that particular area?
Oh, she's thinking because she does know that you're not meant to not, you're meant to
Oh,
talk
yes,
all the
okay.
time when you're
Yes. Yes,
doing
no, I do remember there was again the gentleman in East Sussex. I went into one of the rooms and there was books all piled up high. There was boxes of books. They were all in that far end of this room. And I said, "Oh, what's happening with the books?" And he said, "Well, yes," he said, "so I've moved them here and I've just sort of taken them and not done anything with them."
Yeah.
And he says, "I know I need to sort of clear them through and sort out what I want to keep, what I don't want to keep." And again, I'm trying to think, that was in the west of his home, which is all about creativity, and also is a very auspicious energy this year. So I said, "Right, okay, we need to, that's an area that you want to sort, go through the books, clear out what you don't need. Possible. Create a nice library area if that's what you want to do." But these had all just been sort of shoved there and forgotten, really.
It's an easy thing, and we all do it. Someone asked me, what is stagnant chi, stagnant energy? And I say to them, right, you go and sit in a corner, and we'll throw 50 coats on top of you, and we'll leave you there for a week. And then, how do you feel when you actually get out the other side? You feel elated, yeah. So when we talk about feng shui, and we were talking about furniture, it's really about making sure that the energy is at its best. And so, using furniture, I'm not a great one for heavy furniture, because I believe any heavy furniture is gonna, it's too stagnant,
Yeah, can't be moved, and it's just, doesn't move and doesn't shift. So therefore, the energy there isn't moving.
I like to have lots of windows, lots of mirrors, lots of big clocks. That's my thing. I'm not a great one for pictures. And I'm also not a great one, which I think I've talked about before, like every area has a different color. Yeah. So some people can be very brilliant with colors. And when I go into their houses, I find it really interesting when they have a lot of color. But for me, I have gray and then I filter colors in. Or cats, I have a colorful cats, ginger cats, then that sort of thing.
Yes.
But yeah,
But I agree, quite often it's good to have sort of a more neutral tone, and then you can bring and introduce the colours in pops of colours, in accessories and cushions and or ornaments, and again the different materials that you want to bring into the different elements.
So when you go into your people's houses, I'm going to just slow it up a little bit. So you go to your houses, you do the little general, what was the journey like? They open the door. So for me, when they open the door, first I look at the door, to see if it's locked or not, because the door is the mouth to the house. But when you go into a feng shui for your first feng shui, how do you do it when you go through the front door? What's your first thing that strikes you? People? No?
Yes, it is probably more about the individual at this point than the property. You do get a feel for the space. We are, intuitive beings, and it's about becoming more intuitive and aware of what our space around us. But it's very much the people in that space have an impact on the environment as
That's
much as
your thing.
the
So do you
environment.
yeah. So do you think the I mean, obviously I'm an intuitive, that's why I learned feng shui, but do you, and I know you're an intuitive because I taught you Reiki, so I've learned all about you that way. But does your intuition come in quite quickly as you meet the people, or do you feel it beforehand or not?
I think, as we will have looked and had sort of conversation prior to that day, and I would have also obtained those individuals' dates of birth, and I would have had a
I
look at
see.
their charts. So that will give me and some insights into them before I've even arrived on the day. As you say, I will sort of have that Reiki ahead of the journey to the property, and the first part of the consultation, when we sit down, I really talk a little bit more about them and their what I've seen a little bit in their charts at that point. So yes, I guess it's very much the people first and foremost.
Yeah, so Lynn is a little bit different to me. I'm more Lynn's very practical. I will tell you she does accountancy, whereas I'm much more woo-woo. Although, like she's saying, when she talks about charts, from your date of birth, before you have a feng shui consultation with either of us, we get your date of birth and we run your chart, so we get to know more about you, so that when we go in, we aren't going in blind. We know what sort of person you are, how to integrate with you, that sort of thing. And I think that's a very important thing, because people sometimes live in the wrong houses for them. Yeah. So I've been in houses and only lived there 6 months, and yeah, I've lived in this house 20 years. Yeah. And that's how I do it. Have you come across people that are living in the wrong houses?
I can't say I've probably picked up on that particularly. I've had people certainly that have been in a property for a couple of years, but I will definitely be sitting down, finding out from them, what has been happening in their lives in recent times and where are they looking to go. It's very much also what are they wanting to achieve as an outcome of the feng shui consultation. What are they particularly looking for as in the way of answers, in the way of helping to move their lives forward.
I think that our job as feng shui consultants is to go in and get them what they want. That's how they employ us. Often I find that when I go in, like when you talk about the first house, you're given so many clues. Often when I go in, I feel that I've called me in for something, which is either relationship, wealth, career, but there's always something else going on underneath. And usually it's helpful people that they need. People don't tend to invest in each other's knowledge. And then when you start to talk about what's going on with them, because you already know, because that's what you do, it starts to bring them out of themselves. And that I feel is our job, is to actually get them what they want out of the whole of it.
Yes, which they m might be more than they realize at this point. They might think it's one thing, but actually it's more than that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you another question. What is your favorite feng shui cure or adjustment or something you recommend? Because I'm always all about the water features.
Yes, water features definitely for sort of activating energy. Absolutely. I do love water features, and we will look at where in a particular year you want those water features. But something that actually I also like, and I think people listening can sort of identify with quite easily or quickly, is the use of mirrors. So bringing mirrors in, and well, people generally have mirrors around
Yes,
them
of course, yes.
somewhere, and but they are so beneficial in actually helping to bring the energy into the house and draw it in and bounce it around the property and put it into areas where actually maybe the light's not so good, but the mirror will reflect into that. It's also a great cure for if you've got an irregular shaped property, shall we say, like an L-shaped property. So you've got a bit that's missing. You can use a mirror to sort of extend the property into that area. And I think people, it's something people can immediately see because they can see that depth there straight away that the mirror is providing and the light that it's bouncing around. So I like mirrors as well.
Yeah, well, I do. Well, I'm just going to hand over to my sponsors again, and they will give us lovely things to listen to, and we'll be back.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Lynn, we're back. I just want to talk about mirrors again. You said something interesting. You said that they, if you have missing spaces. So I'm sure our listeners do not know what a missing space is. So I'm just going to elaborate on it. So sometimes people have, I have an art deco house. So, and it was once one split into two. So I have, and so it sticks out a bit, and so does my neighbor. So I'm missing the southeast and she's missing the southwest. Oh, that's interesting. Because I've just realized something that happened in the house. She lost her mother in that house, and it's the southwest that's missing in her house. Whereas in my house, it's the southeast, which is good fortune, which was easy for me because I just put a huge pond in there and I have a mirror. So it reflects out, so it brings it back in. So yeah, that's what you're saying. I think you're right. Mirrors are a really important part of feng shui because it can reflect the outside coming in. So I have one mirror that reflects out into my garden, so that brings that energy in. I know why, but tell our listeners why you shouldn't have mirrors in the bedroom.
So there's two things really. First of all, that mirror is absorbing all the energy of the day, and it can hold quite a lot of energy there within that. But then overnight, as our spiritual self will, when we're sleeping, might sort of have a little wander. It doesn't want to be faced with a mirror.
No,
So
that's good.
you won't be able to sleep so well.
You won't be able to sleep, so that's 100%. While we talk about sleeping, if you ever actually have any problems sleeping, the best place to do to sleep is if you have a north bedroom. That's brilliant. If you can't sleep in a north bedroom, face the top of your head north, and that is called the sleep of the dead.
So your headboard, and good to have a headboard on a bed again to provide that extra bit of protection for you.
It's weird when you go into someone's house and they don't actually have a headboard. I'm like,
Good.
it's just weird anyway. You know, your head touching. I'm not saying our listeners, any of you are weird, but for me as a feng shui consultant, because I've been to so many houses, it's the done thing. So it's security for you while you sleep.
Yes.
So we're coming to the end of our little chat. Gosh, that's gone
My
quickly.
gosh, goodness. It's been lovely chatting. It's going so quickly.
So what projects are you looking to do in the future? Where can people find you?
So I have a website, lkfengshui.co.uk. I'm on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, and I'm on Instagram. I have on LinkedIn, which will become more about the LK Feng Shui and less about being an accountant very soon. But yeah, I'm looking to work with clients on a more ongoing basis, so I can come in and do a feng shui consultation and provide them with some support and a report to help them improve their space. But actually, people find they actually want maybe a bit more of an ongoing
Yeah,
relationship
continuous.
with me during the year, so we can actually see what's coming up and help them navigate the year ahead. Interestingly, with feng shui, I always thought, yes, I want to make, life should be great and easy and fun, and we should all be enjoying life. But actually, it's not about that. It's just about realizing when there are some challenges, which we all face from time to time. It's just, if you like, reframing them almost, it's actually seeing them as an opportunity for growth and transformation in many ways. So working with clients on an ongoing basis, and working with, should we be doing a collaboration with a garden designer?
Oh,
Which
that'd
I'm
be
looking forward
interesting.
to, and there's a couple of interior designers as well I've been having conversations with, and then introducing some sort of online and face-to-face sort of courses introduction to them as well.
Yeah, definitely. I
So
think,
lots of ideas.
yeah, lots of ideas, all good. And I think it's very good to have retainer clients because during the year, as you said, lots of things happen. So I have an inner circle, I call it. They start around October, November, so we get ready for the following year because of the flying stars, which we would have to explain in a whole new story because it's amazing.
Yes.
But all I can tell you guys, if you want to make money this year, you put water in the southwest. Keep it running from the center of your house. It's about 220 degrees around that area. Put water. No, you can put it in the garden. You can put it in the house. But that's where you put water this year. But going back to what you're saying, I think you are one of the kindest people that I've met in my life. Last year I did a boot camp in my house so that people could see how to feng shui your house, and Lynn came along and supported me, but she didn't necessarily support me. She supported all the people that were there. So
Yeah, it was a lovely, Lovely few days, yeah.
It was great. And I think, I'm just telling people, if you want someone to feng shui your house, she is one of the people that I would absolutely suggest. So at the end of this, Lim, can you give a feng shui tip that anybody could use, even if it's just this year? She's thinking,
Well,
guys.
you've talked about the water feature
Yes.
already. So my other sort of hot feng shui tip is to add salt to the area where the energy is least auspicious, and that is in the northeast. We
Yes.
need to place that in the northeast this year, just to give us that protection against any potential mishaps and things that are not so good. So that's a big tip.
That's a
I'm
huge
from
tip.
the centre of the property, mind you.
Knowing the worst negative area this year, which is what Lynn said, is the northeast, and we use rock salt. So I think that's a really good tip. Hadn't even thought of that myself. I use it all the time, but I hadn't thought about it. Anyway, I'd like to say, Lynn, thank you. It's been great to have you on
Thank
here.
you.
I
Yes, thank you.
wish you all the best, and you take care.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you, Janine. It's been lovely to be here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.